Morning, good. Today's daf in Erechin Lamed Aleph. We're in the very bottom of Lamed Beisim from yesterday's daf. Ninth parak of Erechin, discussing the sales of fields and houses in Eretz Yisrael. So the sale of fields in Eretz Yisrael, so that we had discussed since the beginning of the parak, starting on Chaf Tes Amed Beis, sale of a field in Eretz Yisrael is really not a sale, but really it's a lease, because you're going to get it back in Yovel. And so what we discussed in the first sugya of the perek is the idea that the lessee, the one who is renting the property, is able to hold on to it for a minimum of 2 years. Then the owner, if he would like to, has the opportunity to buy back his property. And that's what we discussed in the first sugya. Yesterday's daf, where we started the Mishnah on Lamed Amud Aleph. So we talked about fluctuating prices and the owner's ability to buy back the property, and at what price is he going to buy it back on, based on its appreciated price or its depreciated price. And what we learned in yesterday's daf was that we're always going to be favoring the original owner, and whatever is going to be the lesser of the price, if there were multiple transactions, and in those multiple transactions it reflected two different prices, obviously one higher, one lower, so the owner gets to account for the lower price, and various other scenarios. So we learned in yesterday's daf that we're always going to be favoring the owner in terms of his ability to redeem his property at the lower price. We have a little bit more just to finish up from yesterday's daf, the uvehekdesh. Now, we learned that when redeeming your property, when buying back your property after having leased it to somebody, so it is a highly regulated venture in terms of buying back your property. We learned in the Mishnah yesterday, just some of the basic rules. If you, let's say, need to manufacture money, you don't have the money right now to redeem it, and so you'll just sell off some properties. You'll sell off some of your inferior properties in order to be able to redeem your better properties. So that, the Mishnah says, you can't do. You can't sell off some of your poor quality properties in order to redeem your better property, your better quality property. The Mishnah also says that you can't redeem it lechatzayim. You can't redeem it in parcels. You have to have all the money for all the property in order for you to be able to buy back your property. So it is highly regulated in terms of your ability to buy back your property. And then the Mishnah ends off with one line, which is Zechomer Behejot. I'm sorry. Let me go back a couple of words. It says Uvehektish Mutar Bekulan. The Mishnah says that when it comes to Hektish, all this is okay. This is all allowable activity when redeeming your hektesh. Zechomer behechum may behektesh. And as I pointed out in yesterday's Mishnah, it makes a lot of sense that we're going to be much more makel regarding hektesh. Why? Because think of the consequences when you consecrate your property and now it's in the hands of hektesh and it goes unredeemed. If it goes unredeemed, so that's it. You're going to be losing the property forever. It is now going to go to the Kohanim, and you and your family for all future generations are losing it forever. So one can easily understand that the Torah is going to give a lot more allowances in terms of you being able to redeem your property from Hektish. But if we're talking about where you leased your property to somebody else, what is the worst case scenario? Worst case scenario is we're going to have to wait till Yovel, and at Yovel I'm going to get it back. Okay, fine. So therefore the regulations of me buying back my property are going to be highly regulated. It makes sense. I mean, call it Torah. It's true by all the Torah, but in other words, but we're able to understand this on an intuitive level. Okay, Uve Hektish, we are now just finishing up from yesterday's Gemara. We are five lines from the bottom of the Amud on Lamed Amud Beis. Menani Mili, the Gemara wants to know the sourcing. How do we see this in the Psukim? V'im Gaol Yigael Malamit Shalava V'goa. V'goa L'chatzai. The Torah says regarding Hektish, that Im Gaol Yigael, you see the double Lashon? Meaning redeem it and redeem it and just do it under any and all circumstances. You could borrow to redeem. You could redeem in part. Rabbi Shimon effectively makes the point that we made, that the reason why there are so many restrictions in terms of you being able to buy back your property that you leased out to another person is because what's the worst case scenario? It's going to come back to you. So since your yafe kocho, since your strength is on the end of the lease, so therefore during the lease, your position is going to be weakened. So when it comes to Hektesh, where at the end of this lease, your position is a really, really compromised position. you may, not may, you will lose the land if you don't redeem it. So therefore, the ability for you to redeem it sometime during the interim is going to be significantly enhanced. You're going to be able to borrow to redeem it. You're going to be able to sell off other properties to redeem it. You can redeem it in sections. Okay, good. Tanichada, we are on the top of Lamed Aleph, Lamed Aleph. Lova v'goa v'goa l'chatzayim. V'tanya idach eno lova v'goa v'eno goa l'chatzayim. So we have conflicting brises, and these conflicting brises, says Rashi, is talking about being makdisha de achuza. So over here, one brisa says that the halachas are as we have been saying in the Mishnah on the bottom of the previous amud, that lo vivigol, you can borrow if you need the money, and you can redeem in sections. Another brisa says eino lo vivigol ve eino go lechatzayim. And so we have obviously a stir between the two brises, assuming that the two brises are both talking about being makdish. And Lokasha HaRabbanan HaRabbi Shimon. So the Gemara says that this is a Machlokas Tanayim. Now it's a little bit strange because we haven't seen the other side of this issue. Meaning so far the way it's been presented to us in the Mishnah, so you could be Makel regarding Gulas Hekdesh. In the Braisa that we saw in the bottom of the previous Amud, you could be Makel. And Rabbi Shimon explained why. You could be Makel in terms of redeeming Hekdesh. And now the Gemara is presenting that there's another side to the issue. We didn't see the other side to the issue. So admittedly, that's a little bit challenging. Rashi just simply writes, Rabbi Shimon, Kamar Lavi, Idach Rabbanan de Pligala. So Rashi just simply writes that somebody argues with Rabbi Shimon. Well, meaning you have to say that because the Bryce over here is espousing another viewpoint. Anyway, so it's that's the way Rashi presents it. You can see the top Tosos who discusses it just a little bit. Anyway, let's go on. Okay. Next, today's daf and tomorrow, so we get to discuss a really fun topic, and that is selling a house in a walled city. Selling a house in a walled city has its own set of rules. In Parshas Bahar, Perek Chav Hei, Pasuk Chav Tes, the Torah goes as follows: V'ishkim kor beis moshav ir choma. If a person were to sell a house in a walled city, v'haisa gulaso, now you, the original owner, has the opportunity to redeem it atom shnas mimkaro. Till the end of that year. Now, when we say that year, so we're going to define, because that's what we do when we learn Gemara. We give definition. So, yamim tiyeh gulaso, and you have days in order for its redemption. Now, that word days, yamim, so again, we're going to be spending some time with that word in the course of today's daf. V'im lo yigael ad melos lo shana samima. Now, if you don't redeem it by the end of the year, v'kam habayis asher ba'ir, this house now will literally stand, but of course the house doesn't stand. Asher lo choma litzmisus lekone oso ledorosav. So this house now will be irrevocably transferred to the buyer. The buyer now will be the indefinite owner of this house. Lo yetzei b'yovel, and it does not return to him in the yovel year. So this is the exceptional rule of selling a house in arei choma. So there is much to discuss over here, and so that's where we're going to be starting our morning. On the Mishnah on the top of Lamed Aleph, Lamed Aleph, the Mishnah begins. Hamocher bayis bebate arechoma. Harizagol miyad. So, rule number one tells us the Mishnah is that when you sell a house in a walled city, so when is your opportunity to buy it back? Because you have an opportunity to buy it back, and you have that opportunity till the end of the year. So, when can you start buying it back? Immediately. Vigol kol shemasar chodesh, and you have 12 months. Now let's consider this relationship between the buyer and between the seller and the buyer. Really interesting. Let's say the seller does in fact sell the house in a walled city, and 11 months later it comes to buy it back. Now, if we just looked at this from the buyer's perspective, what just happened from the buyer's perspective? Buyer just handed money to somebody else, then was able to now live in his house. Now, when I say his, let's right now refer to this house as the original owner's house, okay? Even though he, quote-unquote, he bought the house. So now, from the buyer's perspective, he handed money to a person, lived in the house, then 11 months later was given back the same sum of money. Okay, everything's good. From the perspective of the buyer, this is interest. This is interest. In other words, anytime I give somebody money, I get added benefit. I get an added value, and I get back the original money. That's called interest. Now, generally speaking, we define interest by, hey, I'm going to lend you $1,000. You'll pay me back $1,200. Okay, that's generally how we look at interest. But those extra $200 don't have to come back in the form of money. those extra $200 can come back in any form of value, and that would be a violation of ribis. That would be interest. So over here, from the perspective of the buyer, so when he now is going to be, quote-unquote, bought out of his position, and now he's going to be given back his money after having lived in the other person's house for 11 months, that is 11 months of usage. That's 11 months of value. So isn't this a violation of ribis? This is going to be a big part of our discussion today. The Mishnah explains, Hareze kamin ribis veino ribis. So the Mishnah takes a really ambiguous position regarding, is this interest? The Mishnah says, yes, it is, and no, it isn't. Good, that's really clear. And I hope everyone has that really straight in their head. So we are going to be discussing that in the course of today's daf. Stay tuned, the Gemara is going to be discussing it extensively, but hopefully I explained well why it is that this is a real consideration of a violation of ribis. Now, obviously, it's not, but we'll have to explain why it's not and what's behind this. Meisa mocher yigal b'no, meisa lkeach yigal miyad b'no. Now, the Mishnah goes on to say that if the seller dies, so his son can stand in his place in terms of buying back the property. If the buyer dies, so his son stands in his place in order to be bought the property from. You could buy back the property from him. Ein monim shana ela mishar shemachar. Now, in terms of figuring out this year, so it's going to be from the date of the sale. Well, obviously, what else? What other date are we talking about? So no, in other words, in halacha, we can easily entertain that the year is going to be completed from a calendaric standpoint, meaning that generally speaking, in many other areas in halacha, do you know when the year ends? In Rosh Hashanah. Now I understand there are four new years of the year. There are four different marks in the year in terms of when the new year begins. But whatever your mark is going to be, and let's assume if we're going to entertain anything, it'll be the first day of Tishrei. So one could make the argument that if I sell my house in a walled city in Nisan, so 6 months later, the year is over, because, right, Rosh Hashanah, New Year. So for the halachas of Bate Arichoma, that's not the case. It's going to be from the date of the sale. If I sell the house on Rosh Chodesh Nisan, I have till next Rosh Chodesh Nisan to buy back the house. Now the Torah also adds the word Timima, which what seemingly is unnecessary. The Gemara says, no, it's not. Because in a neighbor year where now there are 13 lunar months, so under those circumstances, you are extended now that extra month. When I say you are extended the extra month, I'm really talking about the original owner, meaning he has an opportunity to buy back his property for that additional month. Rebbe Omer Lite Lo Shana V'Ibura. Now Rebbe says to give the Shana and its Ibur. What's the position of Rebbe? So we're going to clarify that position when we get to the Gemara. If, let's say, 12 months come and go and the original owner does not redeem back his house of a walled city, so now it is going to go permanently, indefinitely, in the possession of the buyer. The buyer now will become the owner of this house in perpetuity. Now, it doesn't matter how the transaction is fashioned. If it's a sale or even if it's a gift, what's going to happen after 12 months is irrevocable transaction. Now, you no longer have the ability to buy back. Our Mishnah is not following the position of Rebbe. Starts the Gemara. Rebbe says that when you sell a house in a walled city, it must be by the buyer for minimum 2 days. Now, it's kind of similar to what we discussed earlier, but it's really not the same, because previously we're talking about leasing your property, and there we said that it has to be by the lessee for a minimum of 2 years. This is 2 days, and it's really not the same, because over there the 2 years are for you, your ability to get crop for a minimum of 2 years. And as we learned, not only 2 years, sometimes even 3 years. But here, in terms of the sale of a house, so the buyer gets to hold onto it for 2 days. Admittedly, it's not that exciting. But still, that's the Shita of Rebbe. So now we're going to go back and forth. The Chachamim obviously don't darshan the word Yamim that way. The way they darshan the word Yamim is miyom liyom, from day to day, which means that it's a full year. Rebbe arrives at the same conclusion, but based on the phrase of until the conclusion of the year. So the Chachamim understand the following. The pasuk of Shnas Mem Karo is coming to teach us that it's a year relative to him and not relative to the calendar. Meaning not like what I suggested earlier this morning. That at what
rolled back. The year rolled back.
Okay. Baruch Hashem, all is good. It's not gonna be relative to the to the calendar, like we discussed earlier. What I suggested earlier, that comes if the sale occurs in Nisan, and then we go to to Rosh Hashanah. That's only 6 months. So now the year's come to a conclusion. That's not accurate, but rather it's going to be the full year relative to you, the next Rosh Chodesh Nisan. Shominyan Alam. V'yamim yibayi lehula me'es ha'meis. And what we gain from the word yamim, according to the Chachamim, is not only is it going to be a full year, but it's going to be a full year to the day, to the hour. Right? Rashi illustrates. Let's say the sale occurs on Rosh Chodesh Nisan, midday. You have now to buy back the property next Rosh Chodesh Nisan, midday.
So you're here as well.
And the same thing with the Nibir year. You'll just go to the date and the time of day. If all the Torah says as atom shnos memkara, I would say, yes, the year is relative to you, but a year means when you get to the next day of that following year. But you don't get into the day. And the word kasav rachman yamim, so therefore the Torah adds by the word yamim, that not only is it now a year later, but a year later to the day and the time of the day. So if you sold the property in midday, so you're given now till next year, same day, same time of day. V'Rebbe Meisleis Manale. Now Rebbe agrees with that. Well, where does he learn that from? Nafkale Me Tmima. He learns it from the word Tmima. V'Rabbanan Haumi Baile Liibura. Now the Chachamim need the word Tmima because for the Chachamim, Tmima comes to tell us the full year, right? The complete year, which means that even if it's an Ibur year, even if the year is at an extra month, you, the original owner, now are afforded that extra month because now that's the complete year. V'Rebbe Nami Hami Baile Liibura. Now Rebbe also agrees with that conclusion. So, and he needs the word Tmima to get us to that conclusion. Hachinami, the Gemara says, you're right. Miyom liyom me'es leis me'ad tom shnas mem karo nafka. As far as Rebbe is concerned, both miyom liyom and me'es leis are both generated from shnas mem karo. Or learned from the pasuk of shnas mem karo. Okay. So the back and forth, the traditional back and forth in the Gemara between Rebbe and the Chachamim, how exactly each arrives at their conclusion, what comes out now, like we started off with, is there's really only one machlokus between Rebbe and the Chachamim regarding the calculation of the year, and that is the minimum amount of time that the land gets to stay, or the house gets to stay, right? Today we're talking about houses, not lands. So the minimum amount of time that the house gets to stay by the buyer. According to the Chachamim, there is no time frame. According to the Chachamim, you could redeem it immediately. In fact, that's the opening line of the Mishnah. Harei zeh goel miyad, you can redeem it immediately. Masha inkein, according to Rabbi Yehuda Anasi. So his position is that there's a two-day minimum where it stays by the buyer. And then after that, open season, the original owner now can buy back his property.
What about the land underneath the house?
When we say house, we mean house and its land underneath.
But he's like selling the land for perpetuity?
Yep, that's right. They're right. You say house, we mean the land underneath as well.
Leibura means the extra month.
Yeah, you get the
days.
No. Ibura means you get the extra month. We're assuming that we're going with a lunar calendar. Okay. Hari zikimin ribis and good. And here comes the interesting and somewhat difficult part of today's daf, and that is going to be the calculation of interest. Okay. So now, a sale of a house in a walled city so can net interest. Because if the property is bought back from the original owner, so as I illustrated back in the Mishnah, from the perspective of the buyer, he handed money, he got his money back sometime later, and he got extra value on top of that. That's interest.
That's not a loan.
Okay, hold that thought. That's a wonderful thought. Correct. Okay, we'll hold that thought. We're going to come back to that in just a moment. So, ha reze kemen ribis. Va tanya reze ribis gemura. Now, the Gemara quotes a braisa. Now, our Mishnah took a very ambiguous position regarding whether it's interest or whether it's not interest. If I may quote our Mishnah again, our Mishnah says, Hareze kemin ribis, it's a form of ribis, vein of ribis, but it's not ribis. Okay, so, admittedly, our Mishnah did not take a definitive position. However, the Braisa is going to take a very definitive position. V'hatanya, Hareze ribis gemura, the Braisa says, this is called ribis. However, El Shatori hitira, hitiraso. But over here, the Torah allows it in this particular scenario. Oh, okay. So now, it's really interesting. We have to obviously flesh out the differences between the Mishnah and the Braisa, whether a description of this transaction is verbis or not. Our Mishnah takes a tepid position regarding whether we could define this as interest. The Braisa takes a very clear position whether this is interest. The Braisa, fascinating, because the Braisa says it is interest, but you know what? In this particular case, the Torah perfectly allows it. Okay, so much to explore over here. Let's begin. I'm Rabbi Yochanan Lokashi, Ahad Rabbi Yehuda, Ahad Rabban. So the Gemara says that this is really subject to a debate between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim regarding the parameters of the Isser of Ribbis. The time the Gemara quotes the following Braisa. So let's say that I'm coming at you because you've owed me money now for some time, and it's enough already. So you finally realize, you the borrower realize, all right, Danny, I'll put you on the borrowing side of this equation so we can put out names. So Danny, you realize that you in fact do owe me the money, and the term of the loan is up, and so obviously, so you want to do good. So what you do is the following. You have a parcel of land. And we're not talking about a walled house, a house in a walled city anymore. This is just a really simple case of property and real estate. So, Danny, what you do is you take a land and you basically say the following to me. Here's what I'll do. I'm going to give you my land. But right now, let's call the land collateral. In other words, I understand that I owe you the money. So the land will be collateral. Now, I'm going to use Rashi's timeline. And what we'll do is that we'll contract now for the next 3 years. Danny, you're going to write to me that if in the next 3 years I'm unable to pay back the loan, so then the land will be mine. Okay, good. So I'll hold the land as collateral for the next 3 years, and once 3 years comes and goes, and you're unable to pay back the loan, so then I'm going to own the land, assume ownership of the land.
He's not good. Using the fruit.
Wait 1 second. That's it. That's the discussion. So now, at this point now, for these 3 years, where the land is somewhere in limbo, the land may end up being owned by me, but may not be ended up being owned by me. So now, who's going to be able to harvest the fruit on this land? So what the Gemara assumes is that, Danny, you for sure are able to harvest the fruit on this land. Okay, because the land belongs to you. You mortgage the property against a loan, but it's your land. And so therefore, you for sure can. How about me? Can I take any of the fruit on the land? Well, let's consider. Because let's say right before the 3 years are up, you hand me back the money. Thank you very much. Here's the money back. So now what have I received back for my loan? I've received my money back and 3 years of harvest. Okay? So.
But is he liable for damages to the land?
Wait 1 second. 1 second. 1 second. It's a fair question. Just give me a moment. So Harayesh Shayanosh Bechaver. So let's read all this inside. Harayesh Shayanosh Bechaver. Amana Vasilo Sadeo Mecher Bezman Shemecher Ochel Peros Mutter. Lokech Ochel Peros Aser. So the Tanakhama's position, super clear. The Tanakhama says that, Danny, go ahead, enjoy the fruit during these 3 years. Me?
No.
Cannot have any of these fruit because it could represent ribis. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, af bezman shalokech ochel peros mutter. Now Rabbi Yehuda allows for me to eat the fruit. Okay, now, what is the debate behind the Tanakhama versus Rabbi Yehuda? So the Gemara is going to offer two explanations behind this debate. I'm Rabbi Yehuda. Well, before we get there, sorry. Story time. I don't have in my head cataloged how many times this happens, but in my head, for whatever that's worth, this happens often, where there's a debate between the Chachamim and Rabbi Yehuda. I happen to now currently be learning the beginning of Sukkah. And so this is right. This event occurred in the beginning of Sukkah as well, where there's a debate between the Chachamim and Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda actually points to a case study, and Rabbi Yehuda says, you see that I'm right from here? And the Chachamim say, no, you got the case wrong. Right? You're not looking at the case correctly. So I guess, if I were really that interested, I should catalog the number of times this happens in Shas, but it just happens to be that in my head right now, I have another case where exactly this structure. So, I'm a Rabbi Yehuda, Maisa Bebaitis Ben Zun, Shasa Sadeo Mecher, Api Rabbi Elazar Ben Azariah, Velokeach ochel peros haya. And so Rabbi Yehuda now points to a scenario where, again, the default of a loan, the borrower takes his property, sets it up as collateral with a time limit. If after 3 years I don't pay you back, this land will be yours. If I'm able to pay you back, I'm going to take back the land. And Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, who is he's the Av Beis Din. So he allowed this, and not only that, he allowed the lokeach to eat the fruit. He allowed the lender to eat the fruit. So Amru Lo, So the Chachamim say back to Rabbi Yehuda, you got the case mostly right. But you missed an important detail. So the Chachamim said to Rabbi Yehuda, the borrower was allowed to eat the fruit, but not the lender. So mostly you were right, but you didn't get the whole story correct. Anyway, okay, so we have a machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim. That part's clear. What are they arguing about? The Gemara now is going to offer two suggestions in terms of explaining the machlokas. My beinayhu. So the Gemara's first suggestion, sadecha beribis ika beinayhu tanakama sefer sadecha beribis aser. Rabbi Yehuda savar et sadecha beribis mutter. Explanation number one goes like this. We have now a transaction where it is not clear the nature of this transaction. Danny, when you mortgage that property against a loan, so this could result in one of two things. It could either become a sale in the event that you have now, after 3 years, fully defaulted on the property. So now the land is going to be me, and the original money that I gave you is just simply the purchase price of that land. That's one possibility. The other possibility is that you're going to be able to collect, get money together, pay for the loan, and then this property was just that. It was just a mortgage property, but now we're free and clear in the mortgage. Okay. There are two ways in which this transaction can end. It can either end as a sale or it can end as a loan. And at this point in time, during those 3 years, we don't know how it's going to end. So during those 3 years, going now forward from the beginning of those 3 years to the end of those 3 years, during those 3 years, so this is what in halacha is referred to as sad echad beribis. Because there are two eventualities, and we don't know which eventuality is going to be, and in one of those eventualities, it's going to be a loan. So, and if I take any extra value, that will be ribis, but that's only one possibility. There's a totally other possibility, which is it'll just simply be a sale. And if it'll be a sale, that means the land belongs to me and has always belonged to me. I paid for it a long time ago. So, under these circumstances, this is in halacha referred to as sad echad beribis. So if we have now a situation where the transaction can end up in one of two possibilities, and only one of those possibilities would result in the violation of interest, so interestingly, Rav Yehuda said sad echad beribis. Tanakama severed sad echad beribis aser. So the Tanakama says that we're going to have to treat those 3 years as we're going to be machmir. And Rabbi Yehuda says, no, severed side echa beribis mutter. No, Rabbi Yehuda takes a really interesting position, that because there's only one of two possibilities where this is going to be interest, so he is permissive under those circumstances.
Can't you say the loan is going to be
paid? Right. So, right. Within now this explanation, right, Danny, right, it's a beautiful way to be thinking. And within this explanation, you have to really understand and explore the position of Rabbi Yehuda. Meaning, why does he say it's mutter? Meaning, okay, the way I presented it is that we have two possibilities of how this transaction is going to result, either a sale or a loan. And if it's a loan, so then it's a violation of ribbis. If it's a sale, it's not a violation of ribbis. And what is really the underpinning over here of Rabbi Yehuda, right? Is it that this is now really a mominous issue and we're going to be makel? Or is ribbis more of a iser issue, we should be machmir? Okay, there's you can go much deeper than the way I just did. I really superficially just scratched the surface of the Gemara. Okay, that's one way to explain it.
In terms of who's responsible, that plays a role. I mean, for example, even for the house, the guy has to put moving expenses and so on to get in and then to get out. So there is cost involved. It's not just that he got benefit.
Correct. That's true. Okay, but right now we're dealing with the macro, and I understand your issues you're raising are good, and I'm just dealing with the more macro issues, some of the most basic of the issues. I'll tell you what. Once again, let's deal with the basics first, and then all the follow up questions we could deal with later. Rava Amar Dekuli Amal Tzadecha Beribis Aser. So Rava now is going to be offering our second explanation of this machlokas. So let's start off with everyone is in agreement that Tzadecha Beribis is Aser. And by the way, intuitively, if I had a guess, which I'm not entitled to a guess, but if I had a guess, by the way, it intuitively just sounds better. Meaning, if one of the two possibilities of this transaction is that it is a loan and it would therefore be interest, so then I would say that we should be machmer. But okay, let's assume right now that everyone holds that tzadecha beribis is aser. V'hacha beribis amenas lahachzirik minayu, mar sever aser, mar sever mutter. So let's say the machlokas revolves around the following. Look, we all understand. This transaction, right now in these 3 years, we don't know what this transaction is going to be. It could either be a loan or it could be sale. That part we got. But I'll tell you what. Right, me, the lender, now is going to say the borrower. Let's say this turns out to be nothing more than a loan. and the property was mortgaged, but you're gonna pay back the money, and we're gonna and the mortgage will be released from the property, and it was a loan. So let's say that that's in fact so. Okay, so I'll tell you what, if I harvested over these 3 years and whatever I ate, I'll reimburse you for all that. And so what the Gemara now is suggesting is that this is really the machlokas between Rav Yehuda and the Chachamim. So Mar Savar Asar, Mar Savar Mutar. When I gain extra value, but with the promise that I'm going to reimburse you afterwards, and not only just a promise, but even better than a promise, I do actually reimburse you. So under those circumstances, is that now a violation of ribis? And the Chachamim says, yes, it is. And Rabbi Yehuda says, no, it's not. And again, obviously, you need to spend a lot of time trying to figure out what the underpinning of this machlokas is. Again, you think about it, Rabbi Yehuda is very mistaken. Rabbi Yehuda makes a lot of sense. If I gained extra value, but then I reimbursed for that extra value, so then why should it be a violation of ribis? What is the understanding of the Chachamim? What a wonderful question. Needs to be explored, not for now. One thing I will point out, which is now going to be really important, is as the following. We have now learned together a case where there was a land that was mortgaged against the loan. And again, during those 3 years where we agreed that we're kind of have like a almost an extension of the loan, and the land is now going to be mortgaged against that loan, and either I'll pay back the loan or I'll just simply sell you the land, one of those two things, as Rashi points out now, that has almost nothing to do with our Mishnah. Take a look at the top Rashi in the Amud Beis, where Rashi writes, Ki agav na'asar hol mikar betar hava asili adev Rav Yehuda de kashari b'hachi askinan, shehistu mitzchilo shehimi galana mochi betoch shalosh yachzir lo halokech adami miperish achal over ribis amanas lahachzir pligi. Okay, good. I didn't need to read that part of Rashi, because I said all that outside. Okay. Umas nisen, v'tanu de b'raisa b'ha pligi. And so, now Rashi points out, now that we're here, so now let's go all the way back to our Mishnah and let's explain our Mishnah. And Danny, now Rashi makes the point that you made earlier. And that is as follows. This may not affect at all the understanding of the Mishnah. Because in the case of the Mishnah, what is that transaction in the Mishnah? It's a sale. Meaning that when I sell you a house in a walled city, I'm selling you the house. Now, I do have the right to buy it back. But in other words, the nature of that transaction is that it's a sale, it's not a loan. So it's true that what's going to end up happening is that you're going to live in the house for 11 months, and then I'm going to go buy back the house. And so then you're going to end up with your money back, with added value. But the reason why that's on interest is because the nature of that transaction from the very beginning is it's a sale. I just simply have an option to buy it back. Loans and interest is only when it's a loan, not when it's a sale. So when our Mishnah says, right, go all the way back to our Mishnah, and our Mishnah writes, you know, it's kind of like ribis, but it's not really ribis, right? Kimin ribis veino ribis. So Rashi says what the understanding of that is that you have to look at the nature of the transaction to begin with. It's not a loan, it's a sale. Meza mocher yigal b'no. Continuing now, in the Gemara, we are on Lamed Aleph Amud Beis and Pshita. Ma'od etem avishkim kor beis moshav amarechmane v'hai lav mecher, kamash malam v'aysa gulasom mikol makom. So the Gemara quotes in Pesukim to say that if the seller dies, so a son has the ability to redeem. Even though the Pasuk says, V'ishkim kor bais moshav, which sounds like we're limited only to the man, but the Pasuk also goes on to say, V'haisagu ulaso, and its redemption. Meaning, not only does the father have the ability to redeem, but even the son as well. Now, if the buyer of the house in a walled city dies within the year, so you, the original owner, can buy it back from the son. Now, the son didn't do the actual purchasing. So why is it that you're allowed to buy it back from the son? Again, the Torah focuses on your ability to redeem it, repeating the expression, coming to teach us that you can redeem it not only from the principal that you sold it to, but even from his son as well. Havishana Larishon. Okay. And in a scenario where there are, let's say, multiple transactions. Okay? The sublease. Or the sub or the sub-sale, I should say. Yeah, sub-sale. Let's say you, the original owner, let's call him Reuven, sells it to Shimon. Shimon and then turn 6 months later sells it to Levi. Okay. Now you, Reuven, are the original owner. You have every right to buy it back. So the first issue that we just discussed in the Braisa is, are we calculating from your transaction with Shimon or based on Shimon's transaction with Levi? When the Pasuk says, Ad Malos Lo Shana, for the year to be completed to him over here, it's a pronoun, I know, but in context it clearly is referring to the original owner, meaning the year is going to be from the first transaction, even though there was a subsequent transaction. Havishana L'Rishon. Okay. Now, good. So in a multiple transaction where Reuven sells it to Shimon and then 6 months later Shimon sells it to Levi, so we've just established that the year is going to be from the first transaction. That part's clear. Once the year is up, where's the house, and the house has not been bought back, who gets to stay in that house permanently? And you have two options. It's either going to be Shimon or it's going to be Levi. Now, Shimon, on one hand, was the one who bought it from Reuven. Levi, on the other hand, bought it from Shimon. And so the question is actually pretty simple. I know the case is a little complicated, but the question is really simple. When Shimon is selling the land to Levi, what is he doing? What is he selling? Is he selling just the house itself? I say land, by the way. I have to be clear in this daf. We're talking about the house in a walled city. So when he's selling the house to Levi, so is he selling the just the usage of the house? Or is he selling all the rights that he has? Included in which is that if the house goes back unredeemed, so then Levi's going to keep it forever. But if Levi sells that to Shimon, is he also selling his rights as well? And basically, that's, as we're going to see in just a moment, that's going to be a machlokas. Lemi chalut. The Gemara wants to know. Reuven has sold the house to Shimon. Shimon, in turn, 6 months later, has sold the house to Levi. So, and the house now is gone, unredeemed. Rabbi Elazar Amar L'Rishon Chalut. Rabbi Yochanan Amar L'Sheni Chalut. So it's machlokas Amarayim. Whether it's going to stay in perpetuity to either Shimon or to Levi. Now, Bishlam L'Rabbi Elazar D'Lididei Kamininan. Now, Rabbi Elazar's position, super defensible. Why? Because consider, as we've just established, based on which transaction are we going to be figuring a year? The transaction between Reuven and Shimon. So since that is going to be the marking point of the year, even though Shimon then ends up selling it to Levi 6 months later, but that does not going to factor into the year, so therefore one can argue, therefore, that Shimon is going to be the one receiving the house in perpetuity after the year. Ella Rabbi Yochanan, my time aborted. What is the argument behind Rabbi Yochanan? So the Gemara says very simple. I'm Rabbi Abba Bar Mama, Meis Machar Lo, I'm sorry, Ma Machar Lo Rishon L'Sheni, Kol Chusha Tavo Liado. What Shimon in turn is selling to Levi is not just the house, but all the rights included as well. Because what Shimon has now in that house is not only a property, but also an ability to keep that property indefinitely if the house goes back unredeemed within the year. And so the way Rav Yochanan understands it is that that is what Shimon is selling to Levi. Now it's interesting over here, is the Gemara here talking about defaults? Meaning, will Rav Yochanan agree to Rav Elazar in a situation where they articulate and specify that I'm not selling you the rights? And vice versa, would Rav Elazar allow for the sale of the rights? So again, a lot of things to explore.
So according to Rav Elazar, Levi would have to return the house to Shimon?
Yes.
At the end of the
yes,
year?
That's right.
But he bought it.
Good, so good. So what? So he leased it. Yeah.
Shimon has to give him back his money too.
I assume you're correct. It's a good question. I'm not sure. But I assume you're correct. Hard to imagine that what Shimon now is able to do is keep the money and keep the house.
Yeah. Right. In case only one buyer and the seller is involved, can they stipulate that he's foregoing his right for their option? Or is it just only in the case that it's not
that's stipulated? That's a general discussion of Masna Mashakasa B'Torah. Can you make a condition that goes against the Torah?
This is in the case of not stipulated in the contract. But if it's stipulated that he's foregoing is the option.
So there is a debate amongst the Tanaim whether or not you can make a stipulation that goes against the Torah. It's a machlokas throughout Shas. The Gemara doesn't bring it up over here. Amar Rabbi Abba Bar Mama Machar Sheni Bate Arechoma Echad Bechamisha Asar Be'Adar Rishon Ve'Echad Be'Echad Be'Adar Hasheni. So the Gemara deals with the following cases. There are two houses in a walled city. One of them was sold on the 15th of Adar Rishon, meaning this year is a leap year. I'm not talking about this year. I'm talking about in the case of the Gemara. So the case is a leap year, and you're selling house number one on the 15th day of Adar Rishon. 2 weeks later, a transaction in the first day of Adar Sheni. And so now what? So Adar Sheni. I'm sorry, Altaloshana. Zesha machlo ba chamisha sar shal adar rishon lo altaloshana ad chamisha sar ba adar shoshana haba. And so in the following year, it's going to be confusing. It just is. Because in the following year, what's going to end up happening is that the transaction that occurred second, so that is going to expire first. Because, right. Because in the following year, it's only going to be one adar. And again, it's based on the calendar. And the transaction that occurred on the first day of Adar Sheni is going to expire on the first day of Adar Rishon, because in the following year, there's only one Adar. And the transaction that occurred first is going to expire second. So, Maskev L'Ravina V'Leim Alei Ana Kadim Shechin Nura Mikama Didcha. So, Ravina says, I don't understand. How could it be that expirations are going to go out of order? Right, the Gemara over here uses an expression. I've been cooking in this house, right? Before you, and you get to now enjoy your house longer than me. Like, what's going on over here? So mishum damar le at nachis liibura. So, but the answer is, look, that's just simply how the calendar works. The calendar works where if it's another rishon, another sheni, and then the following year it's only going to be one other. So what happens is that the dates get consolidated. So enachinami, yes, it's strange, but at the same time, however, when working with the lunar calendar, that's exactly how it works. Adar Rishon, Adar Sheni for the following year is going to be consolidated to one Adar, and it's just a question now of which day of Adar. You were the 15th of Adar, fine. So you are now in this year 15th of Adar, irrespective of the fact of which Adar in the previous year you were the 15th of. And the same thing with the person who bought on the 1st of Adar. So again, it doesn't matter which Adar you bought the 1st of Adar. In the following year, where there's only one Adar, so it's going to be the 1st of Adar. Amar Abba Abba Barmamal Nodalo Shnei Talayim Echa Bechamisha Asar Shal Adar Rishon Ve'echa Bechad Ba'adar Hasheni. So the Gemara over here is going to illustrate the same exact example, but over here with the Bechor. Bechor has to be Shechted within its first year. And so now we're just calculating the year of the Bechor. So one was born, it's the same case, it's just with a Bechor. One was born on the 15th day of Adar Rishon, of a leap year. The second animal was born on the first day of Adar Sheni, of the leap year. Zeshanola ba'adar Sheni kemen she'igia yomecha ba'adar shel shana haba. Altalo shana zeshanola b'chamisha asar ba'adar Rishon lo altalo shana ad chamisha asar ba'adar shel shana haba. And again, it's the same, a curious conclusion, which is that the Bechor that's born later is going to be celebrating his birthday first. And the Bechor that's born earlier is going to be celebrating his first year birthday 2 weeks later, 15 days later, to be more accurate. So Maskev Ravina V'Leim Alei Ana Kadim Achal Yiroka Mikama Ditcha. And so again, Ravina asked the same exact question they asked previously. Why can't one animal say to the other, we're animating over here, but why can't one animal say to the other animal, look, I got 2 weeks on you. I've been eating grass 2 weeks more than you, right? And all of a sudden you think, you know, what a knocker you think you are. You're celebrating your birthday before me. Like, this is ridiculous. So mishum da'amar lei, at nachita li'ibura. But again, the answer is the same answer. That's how Iber years work. Look, it's just simply how it works. Ana lo nachita li'ibura. Look, okay, it's just how it works. Hasu lamali. And now the Gemara says, look, we illustrated this example not once but twice. That because of the whole institution of a leap year, adding an extra month, and because in the following year, those two others get consolidated to one other month, so you have this curiosity where you can have something which comes later actually arrive the next year earlier. So the Gemara wants to know, why do you have to present this to us in two illustrations? Hainu hachma detema asam dechsiv temima achad aloksiv temima lo kamash malan deshana shana mehada de gamiri. So the Gemara says, well, because in one of the two it says the word Tamima, that's by Bate Arichama. By the other one it does not say Tamima. So the Gemara says that I would have entertained that maybe this halacha only applies in one and not the other. Shana comes to tell us that the halacha is true in both. Keshu Omer Tamima, Rebbe Omer Litein Shnas Ibura, Tanu Rabbanan. The Gemara now quotes a braisa. Shana Tamima, Rebbe Omer Mona Shalosh Mea, Mishalosh Mea, Vishishim, V'chamisha Yamim, Kaminya Yamosa Chama. So now a year. How do you figure a year? Up until now, it has been the position of the Gemara that it's based on a lunar year. 12 months, 12 lunar months. The Gemara now brings in another opinion, and that is that of Rebbe. Rebbe says that a year in this halacha is going to be a solar year, 365 days. Kemin, kemin yamos hachama. V'chachamim omri, emon eshneim asar chodesh, miyom liyom, v'in misabr nisabr lo. And the chachamim say no. A year is 12 months, and if it's a leap year, so then you, the original owner, are going to be afforded that extra month. Higir yom shneim asar chodesh, v'lo nigal tan rabban l'tzmisus lechalutin. The word l'tzmisus in the Torah, the Gemara quotes the unklus on that pasuk, lechalutin. That means that if after a year the land has not been bought back by the original owner, it remains in perpetuity with the buyer. Davarach l'tzmisus rabos es amatana. It comes to include a matana as well, not only a sale, but even a gift. A gift, if not bought back by the original owner, also is going to remain in perpetuity to the recipient of the gift. My time at Samitz Misus. Now, the reason why we know that it's not just limited to a mecher, but also includes a matana as well, is because the Torah could have said the word Samis. The Torah says Misus. It includes multiple transactions. Amru Rabban Kamei de Rapapa Kamanda Lo Kareb Meir Di Kareb Meir Amr Matana Eina Kamecher. Now, seemingly our discussion excludes the position of Rav Meir, because Rav Meir does not categorically put Matan and Mecher in the same category, as we learned back in Bechoros. Amra Papa Afilotem Rav Meir Shani Hacha de Rabbi Rachman L'Tzmisus. So the Gemara says, well, maybe not. Maybe Rav Meir over here, because of the word Tzmisus, which as we just learned, the Torah could have said Tzamis, and says that Tzmisus. So in this particular case, the Torah is inclusive of multiple transactions. Am Rabban la Rav Papa v'Amar la Rav Huna Bered Rav Yishula Rav Papa v'Ha Gabi Yovel Dichsiv Tashuva la Rabo says Amatana Rav Meir Lo Kamarbe. So the Gemara says, yeah, but when it comes to Yovel, so it says Tashuva, it's going to return, and Rav Meir over there does not include Matana. So you see that Rav Meir does not put Matana and Mecher categorically in the same category, even when it comes to properties and the buying back of properties. So Allah Havada Lo Kareb Meir. So the Gemara says, okay, we're just going to say it, that our discussion over here excludes the position of Rav Meir, and Rav Meir would just simply not agree. Okay. Tana Rabbanan. Hamakdish Bais Bebatei Arichoma Hareze Gol V'Gola Olam. If a person was Makdish a house in Batei Arichoma, so you can redeem it, and you can redeem it forever. Galo Acher Miyad Hekdish Yigeo Yom Shnei Masar Chosh V'Lo Nigal Hayeh Chalut Lo. Now, if somebody comes along and redeems it from the Beis HaMikdash, from Bedek HaBayis, within the 12 months, so after the year has come and gone, so it now is going to be in perpetuity by the one who redeemed it. Menachem Emili, the Gemara wants to know, where does this come from? Amar Shmuel Demakra, Lekona, Oso, Ve'afilu Miyad Hekdesh. So the Pasuk says, Lekona, Oso, that anyone who buys it, regardless of who he's buying it from, anyone who buys it is going to keep it after the year is up. And even if the buyer is buying it from Hekdesh, still, he's going to keep it after a year. L'chalte Hekdesh, the Gemara says, now, interesting. So let's say somebody was Makdish, a house of a walled city. Mm-hmm. And now the year has come and gone. Why don't we make the following argument? Shouldn't Hekdesh now be the owner of this property in perpetuity? So the Gemara immediately rejects such a suggestion. Amar kol ha-dorosav, yatsa Hekdesh ein lo doros. No, the pasuk says l'dor rosav, meaning that it's going to be you for generations. Hekdesh is I'm just using the term loosely, it's an institution. It's a corporate entity. It doesn't have generations. You and I have generations. So therefore, the Bedek HaBayis is precluded, is excluded from the tzmisos, because there's no generations. Lo yatsa b'yovel alamali. So amar of safra lo nitzrucha el lamocher b'ayis bebatei rechoma upagabo yovel b'soch shnasov. So the Gemara suggests the following. Well, let's say what happens is that you sell the house in Bat Yerichoma, and right in the middle of that year of the sale, there's Yovel. So how is Yovel going to have any effect, influence on the sale of a house in a walled city if Yovel were to occur within the year? So the Gemara says, so the Havamina would have been, well, you know what Yovel normally does? So it has properties returned back to its owner. So I would have made the argument that the house should now return to its owner because of Yovel. So Kamash Malan lo yatsa b'Yovel, and that's a Chiddush. Chiddush is no, that the house in a walled city operates totally outside of the laws of Yovel, meaning it has its own set of halachas. It is a year. It is a full year. However, the year is to be calculated. You have the right to buy back that land within a year. If you do not do so, it remains in perpetuity with the seller. The seller now becomes the indefinite owner. And Yovel has simply zero effect on it. And the Gemara says, and that's, there was a Havamini, he could have thought otherwise, but the Maskana is no. Okay, let's recap. Let's recap our day. We finished off the discussion of yesterday's daf regarding the ability to redeem property that belongs to Hekdesh. There are a number of allowances that are allowed when buying back land from Hekdesh. And as we explained, as Rabbi Shimon explained at the end of yesterday's daf, it's because since you are standing in such a precarious situation where if the land goes unredeemed in Yovel, you will lose this land indefinitely for you and your future family, future generations. So therefore, the Torah allows many different allowances in terms of you being able to redeem it. Good. Our discussion today focused on the sale of a house in a walled city, where here the rules of the Torah are very clear. The original owner has 1 year to buy it back. If not, it remains indefinitely in the hands of the borrower. So we discussed many details within the halacha of Bate Arichoma. We discussed whether or not the allowance to buy back includes the son. The allowance to sell it back includes the son. We talked about the nature of ribis in this transaction. Is this going to be a violation of ribis? Our Mishnah says not really. The Braisa says it is ribis, but it's just simply allowed. We compared it to another case of ribis, the case where we mortgage a property against a loan, a mortgage of land against a loan, and the usage and the harvest of that land during the interim mortgage. Is that going to be allowed by the creditor? Machlokas Tanayim. Two different explanations we saw today within the Machlokas HaTanayim. Okay, that was really the pinnacle of today's daf in terms of how difficult a daf it was today. And then in terms of the remaining part of the daf, we talked about multiple transactions. A house is sold from the original owner to Shimon. Shimon in turn then sells the house to Levi. So how is the year calculated? Who's going to be the ultimate? Who's going to be on the receiving end of this house if the year comes and goes and the land is unredeemed and not bought back by the original owner? So Machlokas Amoraim, Machlokas between Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yochanan, and the Gemara successfully defended both positions. Because of the leap year, you can have circumstances in which 1 year is going to end sooner than another year, even though both in the sale of a house or in the birth of a bechor, one animal could be born after the other animal, but he's going to be celebrating his first year before the other one, right? It's a great riddle to be asking around. How could it be? The answer is leap year. Leap year.
Same thing with bar mitzvah.
Yeah, same thing with bar mitzvah. Correct. Yeah. Correct. And then finally, the end, we talked about the calculation of the year. Is it a solar year? Is it a lunar year? Our Mishnah is very clear. It takes the position of a lunar year. Rabbi Yehuda Anasi says that it's a solar year. And finally, we talked about what kind of transactions fall under this allowance of it being remaining by the buyer. Is it a mecher? Is it also going to be a matana? The Braisa clearly says it includes both. Rabbi Meir seemingly does not agree with that. Okay, Adkan.